Listen to this. Failures always have a good reason. Failures always have a good reason. It's interesting, folks. Failure is an incredible open door to give you the excuse you need to quit. Your failure or somebody else's. Oh, I quit. You've been waiting to quit all your life. You're a quitter. You're a loser. You're a no good. And you live in a rotten society that says you're great and a victim. And it's a lie. When you stand before the great white throne judgment of God one day, you're going to find out your excuses don't hold any water at all. You are accountable. I will say it again. You are accountable. And it is accountability that should birth in you desire. And it's accountability that should drive that desire to passion. And it's accountability that should drive desire to passion and to commitment. Failures always have a good reason, and winners are always unreasonable. I love that. Failures always have a good reason, and winners are always unreasonable. Oh, they're unreasonable with themselves and everybody else. They don't want to hear the reasons why. They just want the bridge built. They don't want to hear the reasons why. They just want to build the house. They don't want to hear the reasons why. They want to just reach that goal. Failures always have a good reason, and winners are always unreasonable. I'll tell you something else before we get into this message. Every winner is self-motivated. That's not deep. It's the truth. As long as I got to get you out of bed, as long as I got to get you to take a walk and do some exercise, as long as I got to tell you what to eat, as long as I can tell you go to work, as long as I got to tell you make a phone call, as long as I got to tell you face your responsibilities, you are a loser. You have to tell you. I can't tell you and make you a success. Every winner is self-motivated. And every loser blames something or someone. Don't they do it? Every loser blames something or someone. Well, I'd have been faithful, but I'd have done this. But, honey, buts are for goats and for ashtrays. I don't want to sound like I'm being ugly this morning, but these are real truths. And you know, success is not going to come easy to any of us. I don't know where you've been all your life, but no one handed me success. I've had money handed to me. I've had opportunities handed to me. I've had people handed to me. But you know, success is all of that over a period of time. And that's never been handed to anyone. It's all a matter of management, isn't it? So success has a key, a singular key. It's desire. And if you don't want it, well, right now, turn off. Turn yourself off right now and say, I am not interested. I love being a bump in a log. But if you want to succeed, then you're going to have to grapple with desire and say to yourself, my God, why don't I have a strong enough desire? What's the matter with you? Take my word, something is the matter with you. I don't care if all you're called to do is cut grass for the rest of your life. I don't care if you're called to wash dishes for the rest of your life. And I don't care if you're called to be the president of the United States of America to do a good job and be a success. You've got to have desire. Everybody has got to have desire. There cannot be complacency on any level of life if we hope to excel. And I've got news for you. God's people are called to excel on every level. And that is going to take desire. And it's up to you to face life to get desire. I had to face the fact of what the scripture said. I had to face the fact of what people were getting. And it was a raw deal. And I can remember that Saturday morning. Saturday morning, sunny Saturday morning, walking from my friend Robert Hook's house to my home, looking up to heaven. And the scriptures claims on men's souls and what Christ did to redeem them from destruction. And the churches I'd been to that had just not produced the goods and weren't birthed a desire in me. And that Saturday morning I said, dear God, I can't speak. I got nothing to offer you. I'm a fearful person. But if you want me to go into the ministry, I'll go, because there's an incredible need. And I never thought about it again. Well, how many verses did you get? None. No verses and no voices. I didn't get any. As a matter of fact, here I am 40 years later, and I still haven't got any verses, and I've heard no voices, and there are some who question me to the core of my soul. But I've got news for you. I didn't need verses, and I didn't need voices, because desire had been birthed in me, because I was honest with the facts and honest with the need, and decided to be responsible. And perhaps the reason there's no desire in you today is because you are not responsible with the facts and the great need. That can work in business with money making, that can work in church with soul saving, it can work in marriages, it can work on any level you like. But I recall that Saturday saying, God, I have a desire in me, and I want to do it. And I just said, I'll make one commitment. I'll always tell them the truth. I'll get behind that pulpit, and I will tell them the truth. I will not play with their souls. I will not play with their lives. I will get behind that pulpit and tell them the truth. And I can tell you here and now, I have never, to my knowledge, ever one time got behind that pulpit and not told them the truth. I have given my life to the truth. And I learned that day to separate my personal needs and problems from my responsibility to get behind that pulpit and do the right thing and say the right thing, regardless of how I felt. And that brings me to another thing that really miffs me off. I am so appalled by people who drag their personal problems into the arena of success. When you stand before your responsibilities, it matters not how you feel. It matters not what you've been through. It matters not what you're facing. It matters not what others are doing. It matters not if you feel like the most miserable person in the world. All that matters is your responsibility to be true to your desire. How many times have I gotten behind the pulpit with a splitting headache? Could hardly even see. How many times have I gotten behind the pulpit? I was so tired, felt so sick, I thought I would die. How many times have I gotten behind the pulpit with the worst week of my entire life with enough tragedy to change the world? And nobody knew but God and the grace of God that was with me. Because that's what desire should do. You'd better separate right now all the sorry things you go through with the purity of your desire to succeed. And your fervency to turn into a passion. How do you think Paul made that incredible statement in Acts 20:24? We're going to read in a minute. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself. If you can't hear desire and passion and commitment in that, then you're deaf. How did he ever get that way? That man took the word of God and said, it's real. That man saw the needs of people and said, it's real. And that man said, how can I keep my mouth shut? I'd have to be a crook to keep my mouth shut. I'd have to be a liar to keep my mouth shut. How could I quit? Do you think he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be imprisoned? He didn't, but he could not. His desire, listen to this, his desire for success was so powerful, it didn't restrain him even when his own life was threatened by that desire. None of these things move me. What a thing, what a thing, what a thing.